Unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord worship him in full surrender and always hear and chant about his activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. Thus they are always merged in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. I, however, am in danger. Thus I pray to that Supreme Personality of Godhead who is eternally existing, who is invisible, who is the Lord of all great personalities such as Brahma, and who is available only by transcendental bhakti yoga. Being extremely subtle, he is beyond the reach of my senses and transcendental to all external realization. He is unlimited. He is the original cause, and he is completely full in everything. I offer my obeisances unto him. Purport. Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmitadabritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uktama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Unalloyed devotees have nothing to ask from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Gajendra, the king of the elephants, was circumstantially asking for an immediate benediction because he had no other way to be rescued. Sometimes, when there's no alternative, pure devotee, being fully dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, prays for some benediction. But in such a prayer, there is always regret. One who always hears and chants about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord is always situated on a platform on which he has nothing to ask in terms of material benefits. And thus, when he's a completely pure devotee, one cannot enjoy transcendental bliss derived from chanting and dancing in the ecstasy of the Sankirtan movement. Such ecstasy is not possible for an ordinary devotee. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us how one can enjoy transcendental bliss simply by chanting, hearing, and dancing in ecstasy. This is bhakti yoga. Therefore, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, Adyatmika Yoga Gamyam, indicating that unless one is situated on this transcendental platform, one cannot approach the Supreme Lord. The benediction of being able to approach the Lord can be achieved after many, many births. But yet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has awarded this benediction to everyone, even to the fallen souls who have no inheritance of anything in spiritual life. That is actually being seen in the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, the path of bhakti yoga is the spotless process by which to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhakti aham ekaya graya. Only through devotional service can one approach the Supreme Lord. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya saktamanak parta yogam yunjanmanashraya asamshayam samagramam yathagyasasi tatshrinu. Now hear, O son of Pritha Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Simply by being attached to Krishna consciousness and by thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna constantly, one can fully understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead without a doubt. So the translation again. Unalloyed devotees have no desire other than to serve the Lord, worship him in full surrender, and always hear and chant about his activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. Thus they always merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. I, however, am in a danger. And thus I pray to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally existing, who is invisible, who is the Lord of all great personalities such as Brahma, and who is available only by transcendental bhakti yoga. Being extremely subtle, he is beyond the reach of my senses and transcendental to all external realization. He is unlimited. He is the original cause, and he is completely full in everything. I offer my obeisances unto him. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatim Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Siddharne. The happiness of Krishna consciousness of being merged in transcendental past in the transcendental pastimes of Krishna is stated by Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers to Lord Nrisimhadeva. When he says, Naiva Dvije Para Dharatriya Vaitaranyas, Tvavirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chitak, Soche Vimukha Chaitasa Indriyaratam, Maya Sukhayam Parham. Udvatan Vimudan. Prahlad Maharaj is being asked to accept some benedictions by Lord Nrisimhadeva, but he said, I have no need for such benedictions. And why? Naiva Dvija Param Dharatya Vaitaranyas. Because I don't even care about passing over the ocean of material existence and even the Vaitarani River, which separates the material from the spiritual worlds. Naiva dvije para dharatya vaitaranya tvavirya, your glories. Krishna has glories, and his glories are non-different from himself. See, hearing about Krishna's glories means to associate directly with Krishna. Now, how much we associate with Krishna, to what extent can we associate with Krishna, as shown by Prahlad Maharaj, because Tvavirya Gayana, when he hears about the glories of Krishna, Tvavirya Gayana, Mahamrita, Mahamrita, a great ocean of nectar, Mahamrita, Chitak, Tvavirya Gayana Mahamrita Amrita Magnachitak. Magnachitak means that my consciousness merges into a great ocean of nectar. Now, Prahlad Maharaj is an honest devotee. He wasn't simply trying to fool Lord Nrisimhadeva. Actually, he was thinking about eating sweets that night. We have to see that Prahlad Maharaj, from what's described in the Bhagavatam, was able to undergo great problems, difficulties. And yet he was undisturbed. So do we understand he was gritting his teeth, cursing the persons who were torturing him, but wanting to show how powerful he was by not appearing to be unaffected by his torture? No, and Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that this is a sign of a great devotee, that even in the greatest difficulty, one is not disturbed. Nadukkeshvam, what is it? Yatro paramite chitam, nirudam seva, yoga sevaya, yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashanatmani tushiti, sukham adyantikam yatad buddhi grayam atindriyam, vedi yatrana chaivam, sitam chalati tatvataha, tam yoga, sukha-logam, vi-yogam, yoga-samgitaha. That state of perfection is called transfer samadhi, when one's mind is completely refrained from all material activities by practice of yoga. So our problems in this material world due to the fact that we identify itself with it. Just like if you ride in your car and suddenly the red light on the dashboard flashes, that your battery is running out or the engine's overheating, and then you feel disturbed. My car, there's something wrong with my car. Oh, my car. Aham car, I am the car. So due to our false ego of identifying ourselves with the car, we become disturbed. But actually, what's flashing is not our red light, it's the car's red light. But because we identify ourselves with the car, we think, I'm flashing red. But one whose mind is restrained from material activities and focused on Krishna, he's not disturbed. Guru na pivi chalyate. Even in the greatest difficulty, he's not disturbed because he knows nothing's happening to him. If you watch a movie enough times, then you know what's going to happen. Although the hero seems to be put into difficulty, or perhaps for some, the villain is put into difficulty, you know that at the end, it'll all turn out all right, either for the villain or for the hero. And therefore, you're not disturbed anymore when you see the difficulty he's being put into. Because you know that it was already decided what was going to happen. Similarly, whatever is going to happen to this body is decided. But we ourselves have nothing to do with the body, so whatever happens to the body has nothing to do with us. If the body gains something, then we haven't really gained anything. And when the body eventually loses everything, we haven't lost anything because we never gained anything. We never had anything to lose, only our imagination. But that's good if our imagination forces us to identify ourselves or misidentify ourselves with a gross or subtle body. That's bad. And if we lose it, that's good, because then we'll no longer identify ourselves with that gross and subtle body. And if we're fortunate enough to understand that eventually we're going to lose anything anyhow, then we won't be disturbed at the time of losing everything, because we know we didn't lose anything because it was never ours. Therefore, our only problem is ignorance, that we're thinking that these things belong to me, that I am this body, the things in relation to this body are mine. That's our only problem. We have no other problem besides forgetting Krishna and our relationship with him. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was not disturbed by any kind of material circumstance, so he had nothing to ask from Lord Nrisingadev, because what could Lord Nrisingadev, if you don't identify themselves in the material world, what does it matter where you are in the material world? Like when King Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati, because King Chitraketu had jokingly criticized Lord Shiva, that Parvati was sitting on his lap in the midst of so many sages. Parvati became angry and cursed Chitraketu that you'll become a demon. So King Chitraketu came off his airplane, bowed down before Parvati, and accepted the curse on his head. So Lord Shiva glorified King Chitraketu that Swarva Apavarga Narakeshu Apitulya Darshanha, that persons like Chitraketu, who are pure devotees, that they're never disturbed, even in the greatest calamity. Swarga Apavarga Narakeshu Apituyarta Darshanaha. Because they see everything in relation to Krishna. And they don't think they're dying when the body's dying. They know that they're eternal. And that whatever has been arranged is for their benefit ultimately. Otherwise, King Chitraketu would have been still flying around in the airplane with these ladies, and he wouldn't be back to Godhead like he is now. So he achieved a more auspicious position by being cursed rather than associating with angelic ladies in this world, although he was unattached to them. Therefore, apituliyara darshanaha, swarga apravarga narakeshu apituliyarta darshanaha, that because they see everything in relation to Krishna, whether they go to swarga, the heavenly planets, or Narakeshu, or the hellish planets, wherever they go, they're always equal. Narayana, Parara, Sarge, Kutastina, Bibhyati, Swarga Apavarga. Apavarga means liberation. Even if they're liberated in this, into the Brahman effulgence, they're not. They'll still think about Krishna. Swarga Apavarga Naraki Apitu Yartha Darshanaha. So our goal is to become this Narayana Parayana, one who takes shelter of Lord Narayan, like Prahlad Maharaj or King Chitraketu. But Prahlad, he was great exalted devotee, undisturbed by anything, but still Lord Nrisingadeva was asking him, still you seem a little morose, what's wrong? So he said, yes, I'm a little morose because I'm looking at these foolish rascals, these vimudha, these super asses. And they're working hard for sense gratification with no thought of love of God. And therefore I'm lamenting for them, and I'm devising means by which I can help them go back to the spiritual world. That's my only concern. Now there are other devotees who are not on that level, such as Gajendra is praying here. So they fit into two categories. Those who desire the karma yogis and the jnana yogis. They know that the karma yogis know the goal of life is Krishna, but they're addicted to the results of the activities for material enjoyment. The jnanis know that the goal is Krishna, but they take pleasure in mental speculation to try and understand Krishna. Only when one becomes a pure bhakta and he's only using his intelligence to please Krishna, then one is actually on the platform of actual loving devotional service to Krishna. Still Krishna says, Te sham jnani nityukta eka bhaktir vishishate priyohi naratamaham sachamama priyaha. Still he says that these karma yogis and the jnani yogis, they're still dear to me. But still, the one who's actually liberated, Tesham Jnana Nityukta Eka Bhakti Vishishate, that one who's actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness because he has no longer material identification, he's most dear. Udarad Sarva Evaite Jnani Tvavatmama Memitam Asita Shayukta Mam Evam Nutamam Gitim. He's the most dear to me. So we have to come to that platform. And we can see Gajendra was in material distress. And therefore his subtly or here or grossly he's praying to Krishna for some help, get free from his distress. And some people want to be happy in the material world. They want a better comfortable position. And therefore Krishna also helps them. So these are in the realm of karma yoga, getting free from distress and getting comfortable. But if one stays on those platforms, one is considered a lower neophyte devotee, because getting free from distress, if that's the objective, if that's the only objective, then the result will be that after one becomes free from distress, one's enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness will dwindle. Similarly, if one gets his material desires fulfilled and finds some comfort, however that may be defined, in the material world, then one's desires for devotional service may also dwindle. Now, on the platform of Jnana Yoga, we have, well, for the example of the distress, we have Gajendra. For the example of the desires of wealth, we have Dhruva Maharaj. And on the Jnana Yoga platform, we have the sages of Namisharanya, who are inquisitive. Now, those who are inquisitive and they get satisfied with their inquisitiveness and they think, well, this is too simple. They still have some desire to control the material nature and therefore they go and read other things other than Krishna consciousness, then they may wind up to become Maya Prita Jnanas. Those who are mental speculators whose knowledge has been taken away by illusion. We're not this body, we're eternal souls, but if we take to some kind of investigation outside of the realm of discovering our eternal identity, then we may wind up as Maya Prita Jnanas. Our knowledge of eternality and Krishna consciousness may be taken away by illusion. We may become great scholars in some ways, but we may become actually fools, thinking ourselves to be great scholars. Similarly, we have the four Kumaras, who are impersonalists. Now, they luckily became devotees because they went to Vaikuntha, but in the meantime, they cursed the doorkeepers, who are pure devotees, not the sign of pure devotional service. It's not one of the activities of pure devotional service, curse other pure devotees. So, there's a learned persons who are almost liberated or even liberated, but they're envious. They're asuram bhavam ashrityas. They're envious of the Lord and his devotees. So their position is most inauspicious, because they can commit the greatest offenses. But if one is able to come to the platform of giving up that material envy, then one can become a devotee, an actual devotee of Krishna at the stage of liberation, and actually begin the real process of devotional service. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nikangshiti Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Lavate Puram. That when one is joyful, when he gives up hankering and lamenting, and he works for the benefit of all living entities to bring them to Krishna consciousness, then one can actually enter into real devotional service. It's not enough to give up our desire to be happy in the material world, free from misery. It's not enough to get free from our aversion to the material world and look for liberation from the miseries of material existence. One has to work for the benefit of all living entities, or else one will remain in the material platform, seeing people differently, which will ultimately result in one's falling down from the material platform. So Prahlad Maharaj was liberated, but as a liberated person, he wanted to work for the benefit of all living entities. So that's normal for an actual devotee. Even sometimes we find an actual devotee doesn't express that sentiment, but that's usually out of humility. Like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji felt himself incapable of delivering the fallen conditioned souls. Although he was a pure devotee and fully capable, but out of intense humility, he didn't try to do that. But he encouraged his disciple, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda, to do that, because he thought he was empowered to do such a thing. But he didn't feel himself personally empowered to do it. In any case, that's the sentiment of all actual Krishna conscious devotees. They're not interested simply in giving up desires for material enjoyment or getting out of the material existence entirely. They want to help others achieve Krishna consciousness. That's what they see as their purpose of life. And these other things follow automatically. So when one works for Krishna, following Krishna's instructions through his disciples' succession, then one can become liberated. And when one has no desire other than to please Krishna, then one can actually become liberated. So Krishna is the center. Sometimes we have desires to be happy in the material world outside of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we want to follow others for liberation. But when we only follow Krishna to please Krishna in both aspects, then we become a devotee, at least aspiring devotee. And when we can actually give up everything else except for pleasing Krishna and everything else, any other path not meant for that, then we actually become a full, pure devotee, like Prahlad Maharaj, or as Vrishasura became. In any case, wherever we're at, we should understand that we may have material desires, but if we try to fulfill them in Krishna consciousness by focusing our attention on Krishna, then gradually we'll realize that Krishna is the higher taste. There are three different stages of pure devotional service, and they have different qualities. So in the stage of sadhana bhakti, we have shubhada. And we have Krishna Akarshana, Klesha Agni. both of them, there's always that correspondence. Klesha Agni, get free from suffering, and Subhada, enjoy, get happiness in the material world, which was Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Taranga Rangini, when we get free from our mental speculation, desires for happiness in the material world, then we get a little devotional quality, like a small wave in the ocean, and we get the material facilities, and we try to enjoy them, they become burdens for our spiritual advancement. In any case, Klesha Agni, when we get free from our temptations for material enjoyment, and we develop the good qualities, Subhada, then eventually we can achieve actually some taste for Krishna consciousness, especially in the higher stages of sadhana bhakti, up to ruchi and asakti. Then the taste for Krishna consciousness surpasses any kind of material desire. Then one can actually enter into real devotional service at the stage of bhava, in which moksha lagu kriya and sudurlabha appear. Then the happiness turns into something which is unsurpassed and derives even the idea of liberation. And it becomes extremely rare because one is actually depending fully on Krishna's mercy. Bhavanam janmanamante gyanamamam prapadite vasudeva sarvamiti sarmahatma sudurlabha. So it's very rare because to give up all other conceptions other than to surrender to Krishna and to please him is quite rare, but it's possible by the process of, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we learn how to chant Hare Krishna offenselessly with care and attention. Then our real life will begin at the stage of prema, Krishna akarshini, and V-shaped atma. Was the word for bliss, for Sundarananda Vishek Atma. Then the bliss, the happiness is so great that one doesn't even know what material existence means anymore. And even Krishna becomes attracted by the love of such a devotee. So that's our goal. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Did you have a question? I can tell. Right.
When we see a relative light blinking in a car, we can understand this is not me, but when there is a painful sensation in the body, can one overcome the painful sensation and not be afflicted by the pain?
Depends how painful it is. Depends how developed our consciousness is and our ability to focus our consciousness on something other than the pain. If we just try to get rid of the pain and focus on it, we may feel the pain even more. If we change our consciousness to something else, namely Krishna consciousness, then we may not be affected by it anymore. Depends, even if we focus our attention on something other than the pain, probably stop remembering it or experiencing it. Depends on our training, amount of pain, where our consciousness is, so many factors. Anything else? Yes.
Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati does that some people trying to detach themselves from the life of material pleasure are in the mood of passion. Question. I thought attempting for detachment in the mood of goodness. Is in the mood of goodness. Can you please explain detachment in the three modes of nature?
Well, I don't think Krishna says. He talks about renunciation in the 18th chapter. So one who renounces his duty when he's supposed to be doing it, said to be in the mode of passion. One who doesn't do his duty but does someone else's duty is in the mode of ignorance. When he does his duty simply for the sake of doing it without attachment to the fruits, he's said to be the mode of goodness. That's it. Anything else?
Obeisances, the Prabhupada, she's writing, when one is trying to not to identify with the body and trying to purify from material attachments, but not realizing that one is a spiritual soul yet, not liberated, then where to place one's self-worth? Other devotees have told me that it is important to have self-worth, but worth of which self?
Well, the only thing that's worthwhile is the spirit soul. Just like the gold mine and the speck of gold. The little speck of gold is worth something because we know the value of the gold mine. So without understanding ourselves as a spirit soul, we can't really, you know, our worth is just artificial. Generally, it's seen in the eyes of others. And seen in the eyes of others who are not in spiritual consciousness, our self-worth can be quite unstable. One day someone loves us, the next day they hate us. So we're valuing our self-worth through the eyes of others, then our self-worth will not be our understanding of our self-worth will not be stable. Only when we see our self-worth through the eyes of Krishna and Krishna's devotees can we understand what we're actually worth. Just like the finger has some worth if it's attached to the body. And if you cut the finger off, someone may admire the finger, but it doesn't. Their admiration may be based on mental concoction. They don't understand what the real value of the finger is. Therefore, their estimation of the cut-off finger, you know, maybe it's just due to their mental concoction. All right, Kuala Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.